Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte. What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk
with J.P. Finley.
What up, everybody? Jeez.
Please keep that.
I'm telling you.
Let that be the start.
That's how I feel after 48 hours in Las Vegas.
That was the best open ever.
What up, everybody? J.P. Finley, Redskins Talk Podcast. I went to Las Vegas. It was incredible. Let's go Caps. I'm here with Pete. Pete, what up?
What up, everybody? How's my JP impression?
Pete and I have been banished to a random guest office in the NBC Sports, I don't know, office. We're not even in the studio. Yeah. We're in like the legit like office side of things. Hopefully the audio is okay. This was the best idea we could come up with. Tandler is on vacation, and I believe it's Tandler's birthday. So, Pete, I'd like you to sing happy birthday to Tandler.
I don't know if the acoustics in here are appropriate, but
give it a couple bars.
Happy birthday.
Oh my God,
Swaggy
stop.
T.
Stop immediately.
I hope your lazy boy is really comfy today.
There's
Rich.
No way he's listening to this.
I know.
But happy birthday, Tandler. A lot for us to get through. I got an announcement about the podcast party June 14th at Matchbox in Ashburn. Pete was out at OTAs. I wasn't able to be there. My daughter was sick. Pete's going to give us his update. I have a pretty fun story from Vegas where I got to meet Raiders owner Mark Davis that I think you guys will enjoy. I want to talk about burner accounts just because that's like the hot topic.
Yeah.
Let's start with the podcast party. Can you give me a drum roll, Pete?
Yeah, I'll do one of those right now. It sounds better than my birthday song, I hope.
All right. Well done. Here's the news. We've got a beer sponsor, and it's always great news to get a beer sponsor. And what's even better news is I actually love this beer. I don't know how I lucked into this. But Lost Rhino is going to be our beer sponsor. Their brewery is out in Ashburn, so it's not too far from Matchbox. They're giving us not one, but two different beers people get
to
pick from.
Two beers!
And the one that I know I'll be drinking is the Faceplant, which they sell at the Wegmans in Ashburn. They sell like a, it's not quite a 30-pack, but it's like a 25-pack.
I feel like that name is very appropriate for the podcast party. A lot of people will be face-planting before, during, and after it.
We still need to sort out what you're going to be doing, Pete, because you're backing off 100 shots.
100 shots
it's
is
kind of what you're known for, dude.
Yeah, but if that's what I'm known for, then it has to keep increasing every time.
And no, I think it stays.
The IRS, I mean, I barely got by the IRS after 100 shots. I don't want to alert them anymore. So I'm going to kind of sit on it this weekend, think of a shtick for this podcast party. Maybe I can announce that on the next pod. Since right. We just have announcements all the time now, and I love it.
All right. But seriously, a big thanks to Matchbox and a big, big thanks to Lost Rhino, who makes really good beer. Matchbox makes really good pizza. These are things I love, pizza and beer.
Yeah.
June 14th, do not miss it. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we'll remind you as we get closer. The Caps are kind of taking over everything right now. But don't worry. We're still deep in the Skins game. I think we kind of owe an apology. I don't know if apology is the right word. But are we a day late on this podcast? Our timing is off.
It's definitely off. I was hoping to get something up after OTAs, but the logistics weren't working. So yeah, we're at least a day late. It might be 36 hours late. It's bugged me. I've kind of been a little bit stressed about it. I don't know how you felt. I just don't like letting people down and getting off schedule.
Yeah, next week we'll be back on schedule. Vegas took more out of me than I expected. So
really, you expected Vegas to go light on you?
Give us an OTA update, Pete.
So, yeah, I was there out there yesterday. Rich was on vacation. JP wasn't there. So I was kind of in charge, as JP said, which was weird, but it worked out. And I want to talk a little bit about Josh Doctson. I wrote this on NBC Sports Washington, and you can go there after this podcast and read it if you want. But he looked his usual self during the practices. He had a really nice leaping catch over Orlando Scantrick. But the cool thing about him afterward was that, you know, all the players are coming off the field. Everybody's holding their scrums. You see Kerrigan talking to reporters, Jonathan Allen talking to reporters. And I turn around and I see Josh Doctson's doing a scrum. And JP, you know that Doctson never really talks unless he's had a big game or he's, you know, doing a training camp sit down. It's not really his thing to talk to the media.
He's not a media guy, man. And not in like a bad way necessarily.
Yeah, he's not a rude, mean guy. It's just not his thing. He doesn't have a lot of interest in it. So I kind of raced over there to see what he was saying. And after he finished talking, I talked to a couple guys there and they said it started off rough with him doing his typical one word answers. But then he started to get pretty introspective and talking about how confident he is and how he feels like he did back at TCU. And I think that him talking to the media, I'm trying not to take too much out of this. It's something every athlete should do and does pretty well on the Redskins. But I think it just shows that he had last year as a full year to play. And he kind of settled in the NFL because his rookie year was a wash. And now he's coming into a new year with a new quarterback, a lot of experience kind of under his belt. He feels healthy. He feels just like a wide receiver should. And he's excited. And I think that him kind of having that impromptu presser just kind of showed again that he's feeling more confident in year three. And it was something that I picked up on, a little nugget there at OTAs that I think might explain something a little bigger than just it was a 10-minute Josh Doctson chat on the sidelines.
So, okay. I think it's good that he's confident. I think he should be confident. I tend to temper excitement over, you know, something from May.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, is I sat down with Josh at training camp last year for a one-on-one, and he was quite confident then. I don't think he lacks confidence or has lacked confidence. I think from everything I've heard on and off the record, what I've seen, I think Alex Smith is going to look to Doctson more than we saw Kirk Cousins do. And I think if there's anything receivers want, it's the football.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that will make a big difference. I think with Paul Richardson on this team, the receiving group is way better than they were last year, where they really lacked separation at times. And I think those things, it all works together. But I'd argue maybe those things are more important. But still, it's good news all around if Josh is out there talking. He also knows he has to at some point. So, like, he might just want to get it out of the way, and then he doesn't have to do a real session again until we get to Richmond.
Yeah, but those sessions that he did last year that were forced, like, he had one after the Oakland game where he caught his first touchdown.
Going deep down the right sideline, and it's pulled in, and into the end zone goes Doctson for a touchdown. 52 yards.
And you'd think that was his first score. He's excited. He's ready to break through and just talk a little bit. And he still gave you two or three words. He wasn't that excited. This time, like, Craig Hoffman was asking about his vacations, and he was talking about college and Alex Smith, and he was actually giving some thought into it. So it just seemed like a little bit of a different Josh Doctson compared to what we've seen in the past.
All right. What else stood out? In the story you wrote, I found it very interesting and a little odd that you said Josh Norman was taking snaps as the slot corner.
Yeah, so I tried to pay attention to that early just because I know we had a podcast recently about secondary lineups. And so I was looking, I saw Scandrick and him start out on the outside kind of early in team stuff. And then I walked down to get a better spot. And then I turned and there was, I think he might have been on Richardson. Both of them lined up in the slot. And it definitely caught my eye because I don't think we saw much of that last year or in the 2 years that he's been here.
Well, and the bigger thing that makes me wonder about it, remember 2 years ago when he first got here and they didn't have him traveling with other receivers? It was a big brouhaha. Was he just mirroring what Richardson did, or was he lined up in the slot?
No, it was him. He was in Richardson's face in the slot.
But, like, did he go there because that's where Richardson was and he was covering Richardson, or was that just where he was lining up in the
that
base?
I think it was just that's where he was lining up. It's not like Richardson came in motion and he
so
followed
who was
him
on the outside in those situations.
Scandrick was closest to me and I didn't see who was on the outside. I would assume Dunbar probably, but that would mean Dunbar was on the left, which is Norman's usual spot.
It's interesting. I bet it's nothing. Yeah. I bet it's just like some weird wrinkle in May.
Yeah,
but I don't know, when I was reading your story that really stood out. And then the other thing was the Ryan Anderson nugget you had in there.
Yeah, so Jim Tom Sula never lets his defensive linemen get any rest. So special teams came on the field and they're doing their kickoff stuff. And Jim called over his guys to kind of work on some like alignment stuff and like very slow penetration stuff, just typical D-line action. And he had all his guys, and then you see Ryan Anderson was also involved in it, and it was for 6 or 7 minutes, nothing too crazy, but there's no other linebacker. I looked around, and Kerrigan was chatting with Mason Foster, and McPhee wasn't around, and Preston Smith was doing his own thing, and Ryan Anderson was over there getting a little extra work with all the D linemen. So I just made note of that in my post, because who knows, that could be something down the line. I know Ryan Anderson made zero impact as a rookie, so maybe they're looking to get him involved in other spots if possible.
Dude, I just don't know. I don't know if the better spot for Ryan Anderson isn't almost an inside linebacker.
Yeah, I've heard you say that before.
I mean, just the weight. I'm just looking at this. Ryan Anderson's 250. John Allen's 290. Anderson is maybe big enough to set the edge on the outside, but to play inside D-line, he just – I'm trying to pull up other guys here. Ziggy Hood's 305. Now, I know Ziggy's more of a nose, but Ioannidis is 305. The Redskins redid their website, and while it looks much better, it doesn't appear that I can sort the roster like I used to be able to. It's kind of driving me crazy. What does Anthony Lanier weigh? 285?
Yeah.
Maybe it's just a technique thing to learn some stuff, but yeah. I don't know that he has the weight to be on the inside of the defensive line. He's a strong dude, but it does make me wonder if the organization's just trying to figure out something to do with him.
Yeah, it's because he doesn't have, like, the eye-popping, crazy athleticism that a guy like Smith has off the edge, and he's not big enough to be on the D-line. It kind of seems like he's an in-betweener on a lot of different scales, so they probably are trying to figure out, okay, what can we do with number 52 and let him get some snaps.
Right. All right, anything else that really popped for you at OTAs? A chick talked about some deep ball Colt threw to Robert Davis. That was pretty.
Yeah, that
were they outside?
Yeah, we were outside. It was sprinkling throughout, but it never got above a Jeremy Sprinkle, if you will. Colt McCoy did hit Robert Davis deep. It was probably the best catch of the day.
And what, Tim Settle almost made a crazy pick?
Yeah, Tim Settle, man, it would have been great. I think they would have had to cancel practice with the celebration, but he jumped up like 3 yards off the line, and a Colt McCoy hard slant hit him right in the hands, and he got his two big paws on it, but just couldn't haul it in, and like 50 defenders were ready to just pick him up and carry him off the field. So that would have been fun.
They get so hyped.
Yeah, they love when big dudes make interceptions. Yeah, I think that's about it. There was one cool Paul Richardson thing. I was like waiting for guys to come off, and I heard him talking to, I think it was Matt Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh was just talking to him about what Seattle's rules for receivers were when Russell Wilson would break out of the pocket. And Richardson was just going through every little thing. He was saying, if I'm on the outside and Wilson rolls out right, I stop here. If I'm on the inside, I go to the sideline. If I'm on the opposite field, I break deep. And it was kind of like some good football porn, if
you will. So were you just eavesdropping at that point?
Yeah, so I don't know. I wasn't like up in their grill, and I also wasn't just like staring at them, but I was letting my I was just picking up on some stuff they were saying.
Okay. Now that you've reported it, you better hope you were on the record there.
Okay, yeah. All right, so JP, on to other stuff.
I'm just
here.
Kidding, dude. They knew you were the standing. Yeah, you're fine.
Yeah, and that was also Seattle's playbook, so I don't think that matters too much.
Well, and it's like when a play is broken down, who the hell knows?
Yeah, it was just cool to hear Paul Richardson go through all the minutia of football, and he's a smart guy, and it was very interesting.
Either he said, so I saw something recently about he didn't get to really run routes in Seattle because their offense was so almost based on Russ scrambling
backyard stuff.
And Alex can move, but he's not Russ Wilson. And Smith doesn't look to elongate plays. Like, nobody looks to elongate plays like Russell Wilson.
Right.
All right, so we're in Vegas. My boy Rudy, follow him, at DC Barno. He's just a wildly big DC sports fan. We have pretty damn good tickets, not going to lie to you.
You are in every camera angle in that building. I could see your red shirt everywhere. You had your phone up. You were filming Tom Wilson in the penalty box. You were just... You were all over my TV screen.
It was fun, man. It was cool. It's tough that they lost that game. But in those seats, you kind of get access to this, like, downstairs bar area. And I ran into Mark Davis, the Raiders owner with the really goofy haircut.
Right.
And I don't know why, dude, but when I saw him, I did not expect he and I to have, like, I didn't expect it to be a real conversation. And I just went up to him and was like, hey, Mark, JP Finley, I'm a reporter. I cover the Redskins. And he couldn't have been cooler or nicer or like more down to earth. And I've met a fair amount of NFL owners, and generally there's at least like a handler or a security person with them at all times. And if Mark had somebody with him, I didn't see that person. And I was certainly able to just walk up to him and start chatting.
Yeah.
And maybe some of it was we were in like kind of a exclusive area, but he was cool, man. And the best. So I introduced him and said, hey, you know, I cover the Redskins. He's like, oh, you must get to deal with Bruce Allen a whole lot. And I was like, yeah, you know, kind of. He doesn't talk to us all
much. As
much
as we can.
But Davis had really high things to say about Bruce, which I found pretty interesting because Bruce left the Raiders 10, 15 years ago. And I don't know that it was like the best circumstances when he left the Raiders. But just because they were going to Tampa and the way everything went with John Gruden back then. And but that was also Al Davis at that point. That's a different Al Davis, by all accounts. I never met him. He's a beast of a man. But Davis spoke really highly of Bruce Allen. He said he's a true football lifer. There aren't a lot of those out there. And I don't know. It was interesting. Somehow I got to have a Redskins conversation during Caps game one of the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah, I'll say you like to put off this vibe that you're like an antisocial guy, but you're very good at approaching people, whether it's a 7-Eleven worker or some random person in an elevator here or Mark Davis. So it's not surprising to me that you and him hit it off at a Vegas Knights game.
When do I give off an antisocial vibe?
Well, you like to be grumpy with people sometimes, and you're an angry driver, and you don't...
I'm not an angry driver.
You're like... Remember we talked about this? You just kind of do everything angry. You type angry.
I do type angry.
You like... golf kind of angry. You drive very angry.
I don't drive angry. I don't golf angry. I'm very happy on the golf course.
You drive super angry. It's gotten to the point where it's borderline unpleasant to ride in a car with you.
I don't like people to drive slow.
Yeah. And
you drive slow.
Yeah, really? Because last time I drove you, I got a speeding ticket.
Because you were driving so slow, I was giving you grief.
The bottom line is you seem like a grouch sometimes, but you're great at talking to everybody. So I'm happy that you and Mark are buddies now.
I don't think I'm a grouch, but whatever. All right, that's the Mark Davis story. He was very cool. I also got to meet Steve Wynn. Do you even know who Steve Wynn is?
There's no shot. I couldn't even tell you what industry or what he does that makes him worth.
You ever heard of the Wynn Casino?
No.
Have you ever been to Vegas?
No. I've never been to a casino or Vegas.
You are such a dork. Oh, my God. You live a sheltered life, dude. You need to get out.
Yeah. Oh, I'm well aware.
Ocean City. Ocean City is the coolest place you've ever been.
Yeah, I do. And I want to talk about that. I was raised in a neighborhood called Flower Valley on a road called Red Clover Drive. I was born to have a sheltered life.
So you just told everybody where you live, by the way.
Yeah. Well, we showed a music video of that on our show. So I think the cat's out of the bag in terms of where you live.
You need to travel, dude. See the world.
Yeah, Vegas seems really fun with how you've come back and your voice hasn't recovered in like 4 days.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
B-Mitch! B-Mitch is standing outside of the random office we're in. Try to get him in here.
Yeah, this will go well.
We're just recording this live. Brian, we're doing our podcast right now. You want to come in? Come on, man.
He's drinking his coffee and says, mm-mm.
I'm telling Vegas stories.
I'll tell him. No problem.
You know that Pete doesn't know who Steve Wynn is?
Of course he doesn't.
We're recording.
Say that into the mic, please. Why don't I know Steve Wynn? All right, he's actually coming in.
B-Mitch!
Last time B-Mitch was on the pod, he called me a soft millennial.
He doesn't know Steve Wynn because I don't have money.
I mean, I don't have
not
any money.
Not that type of money. I meant Steve Wynn money.
No, Steve Wynn
Steve
money.
Steve Wynn, you saw in the Wynn Hotel, the guy had to step down because they had the discrepancies that women say he did something. He was the one that built Shadow Creek
right,
first.
Right, I talked to him about that.
Then he went on to, he built the Wynn. That's the average course.
Yeah.
Right by it's right on the middle of the strip. I don't like that course very well.
Vegas wiped me out, dude. I'm still hurting.
You were wiped out when we talked to you the other day.
What have you thought about these Caps games?
Exciting. I mean, last night was very, very exciting. Then you look at what I said before that game. Doc Scott and I were talking yesterday who we thought had to step up. And I felt whenever you look at, for the most part, when you hear a series, a team just begins to take over, the goalie gets super hot.
Yep.
And that save last night by Hopi, I think, was one of those moments where it can go down as the biggest play in Caps history if they end up doing this. But you look at the fact from the power play of the Golden Knights until like 3 minutes left in the last period.
Yeah.
They didn't have a shot on goal.
Dude, when they killed off the 5-on-3,
yeah.
When the Caps killed off the 5-on-3, I was like, damn, dude, they're going to win. All right, I got three questions for you.
Three questions.
Pete got to talk to Josh Doctson the other day at OTAs. Mm-hmm. Did you get to talk to him?
No.
Pete believes Doxson looks, feels, sounds more confident, believes that could translate on the field this year. Mm-hmm. Jay Gruden said roughly the same thing. You know, now he's got a real year under his belt. What are your expectations for Doxson this fall?
I expect him now. So, like Pete had mentioned this a few weeks ago. He said Josh Doxson was hurt his whole rookie year. Last year was essentially his first year.
De facto
rookie
year.
And he didn't play much.
Right. Especially
so
early.
I am looking for major leaps this year. I'm not going to sit up here and give you a number of the amount of receptions I expect them to do because I don't know how they're going to run the ball. I don't know what they're going to do.
If they actually run the ball. Like
if they run the ball,
guys,
it may take a little bit from him. But I think he would have a better per catch average. I expect Josh Doxson to begin to show what I saw him do in TCU.
He was a player,
and
man.
One thing on top of it, Alex Smith is doing what he can as far as giving him shots in practice, giving him some confidence, letting him know he has confidence in him so he can get that extra belief in himself.
That wasn't there last year between Kirk and Josh.
Well, to be honest with
you, Josh had some bad drops, but then Kirk wasn't growing.
But I say this. I'm not going to blame Kirk for that last year because, hell, Jay didn't put him on the field half the damn time.
True.
So as a quarterback in defense of Kirk, and I don't have to defend him, as a former quarterback, if the coach didn't put you on the field,
right,
how do I gain any rapport with you or have confidence in you?
Well,
and that's the thing what I didn't like. And I heard that last year about Kirk not throwing in the ball. Well, hell, if he wasn't practicing a lot, from what I was hearing,
right,
then it's hard for me as a quarterback to believe in you.
We knocked Pryor like crazy for his catch rate. It, just looking at the numbers from last season, Doxson was targeted 78 times. He brought down 35 of them. Mm-hmm. Now, you never know if they're all good balls. I mean, catch rate
a lot of Doxson's paws were big play thing where they were trying to go after stuff.
Yeah, and then at the end, it felt like they're forcing
they were
the ball
to
him.
That takes a lot from it.
Decline that a bit.
You know, but I'm expecting him to do some good things this year.
All right, question number two. Burner accounts are all the rage, all the conversation.
So you got rid of yours.
How many burner accounts do you have?
I've never had a burner account. I've never had a burner phone.
How many burner account? Pete has like 4 Twitter handles.
You know, but the thing about it,
that is such an outdated jab.
I don't understand the. My whole thing is
you are a person that does not need a burner.
You've been around me
because you say whatever you want.
You've been around me long enough. I just believe in saying what the hell I believe, and you don't have to be disrespectful when saying what you believe. You just have to be a person who, if people truly know me, you don't have to wonder what I'm thinking,
right?
Because I'm going to tell you. And I remember back in the day, like, I've had my same phone number since 1999, 2000. That says a lot.
For a high-profile dude like that, that usually changes every 18 months.
Why do I have to change it every 18 months? If you're around the right people and you choose to let the right people deal with you, then you don't have to run from them.
What story is weirder to you? This is not one of my 3 questions. This is a bonus question. This is 2A. What story is weirder to you, the Colangelo burner accounts or Drake and Pusha T?
I'm going to go with the Colangelo Twitter burner
account. Rap beef happens all the time.
Because, rap beef happens all the time. Now, the strangest thing today is that Drake had a press conference.
Did he? I didn't know that.
He didn't come back at him with some lyrics. You know, he just had a press conference. But you have a guy who's in the position of authority.
Colangelo.
Supposedly has a burner account where he's pushing himself, but he's knocking players.
Right.
I don't buy that. You know, and I think that we've gotten into an era where we are sitting up here, we're so damn selfish, and we want to just, but we feel we could just knock people. But I'll say this, if this all comes out true, he won't work in sports again.
Even though his dad,
he may work in some of these political cabinets, but he ain't gonna work in sports again.
And that's a plugged in dude that might be losing it all so he can throw Twitter jabs.
Look, man, if I didn't like Markel Fultz or I didn't like something about him, I would have told him, man.
I'd
go trade. Look, man, I think you need to get off your ass and do something.
Right.
This is how it goes.
Wouldn't send it from a backup account with 37 followers.
First of all,
so weird.
A real man stands up and tell you what he believes. A little, I can't use the word I want to use.
You can use it.
I think on here.
They hide. And that's what he's. If this is true, that's what he's acting.
Okay, Tim, cut out that word.
You might have to edit that one.
But the post-edited edition, it was a good word.
Yeah. Just leave it as a beep and let people come up with their own word.
That was awesome.
All right. Here's our last. God, my voice. My voice is a mess.
Get hot in this office.
Please talk about.
My last question. As you know, the podcast party, June 14th at Matchbox in Ashburn.
June 14th can be hard, dog.
You're in town.
Yeah, but my daughter graduates that day.
Oh,
7 o'clock.
That's when our
we have a show at 5 o'clock.
I won't be having a show that day.
Well, I guess that
Maya Mitchell comes before the show
sure,
that day.
Sure, sure. All right, well.
And way before the podcast party.
Yeah.
Well, you know what?
I can
do the show. I can do the show via FaceTime like I did from San Antonio.
Yeah, that works.
Just sit in seats of the graduation hall and
I'm going to be somewhere close to that, but I'm going to do the show from that. So, man, I'm going to be the happiest parent, man.
That's
my third graduating from high school.
Man, that's a round of applause.
Where's she going to college? LSU?
Going to VCU.
VCU.
She was looking at LSU because her brother went there, but I'm like, look, that's out of state, man. That's 20-something. I'm going 20-something thousand.
Does that mean that we can't camp out at your house?
We're looking for
you can camp out at my house. It'll be even better because I'll be coming back to the house. You mean after the
after the party.
Because I can come back and then I got fired the margarita machine.
Now we're talking.
You don't have to camp out. You can go in the basement and stay in the basement.
I kind of want to camp out still.
It might be kind of fun to
camp. But the margarita machine sounds
I'm going to have some stuff. I have a separate garage. And we could have everything over there, too. We could just do it, man.
Now we're talking. All right, we're getting legs now.
I'm going to just be honest.
Screw you, Tandler.
The guys that were doing landscaping, they saw two black snakes coming out of the stuff. I'm not going to sleep outside.
Actually, that changes it. Yeah, he told me a story about shooting a snake off his roof. I don't know if I want to sleep in the backyard anymore.
We can stay in the garage.
Oh,
the basement. We can do the basement or the garage.
Hey, man, I'll take either. All right. We've made a lot of progress in this podcast.
I'll be probably home before y'all get through. And you just meet me at the house, and then we're going to go down. We're going to bar it up and do our thing.
Yeah.
Sold.
We'll be coming in hot. You'll catch up with us.
The last time, I literally had to carry Pete out of the bar at the last podcast party.
Pete, the bathroom, downstairs. Don't walk upstairs. We got to live the Earl.
You should leave a barricade.
I left the light on in my basement bathroom in case he had to go.
If you have the Earl, don't come upstairs to find him.
Things are going to get epic. June 14th, Matchbox, and then late night at B-Mitch's house. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for stopping in and taking a knee with us. This was fun.
Hey, man, it's all good.
Thank you guys very much for listening. Next podcast, hopefully I'll have a voice. But if you made it this far, I owe you a beer.
You sound like I got far.